Today is Laetare Sunday. It's the midpoint of our Lenten journey, the fourth Sunday of Lent. And so we have this these beautiful flowers, and these flowers are not pink because Jesus did not pink from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. So they are rose, not pink. Yes, that is a Father Will joke. And so if you remember him very fondly. So we have these this light color of purple to remind us that our salvation is coming soon. So this rose color. In our readings today, we get a chance, we're invited to look with hope towards this, our salvation, Jesus, on the cross. And we have this very strange line from the gospel, and so I want to look at it briefly today and then see what that means for us as we are in our exile, our Lenten journey. So it says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, this is strange because in some ways it seems to be equating the serpent with Jesus, because those are the two that are lifted on the cross. And usually we do not associate Jesus and the serpent. We would associate the serpent with the other guy, right? With Satan. So we have the serpent here in this story of the temptation of Adam and Eve there in the garden. So what is going on here? I want to first look at this story from Moses. So this comes from Moses, from the book of Numbers. So God's people were enslaved in Egypt, and it was a miserable time there in Egypt in slavery. And so God sent Moses to deliver them. And they went through the Red Sea, that set of windows back over there. We have the story of Moses. And they go through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is drowned in the waves, and they are there in the desert, and God gives them this miraculous food to eat, manna from heaven. Well, as they're going along, it turns out that they got tired of manna. So they did not like it any longer, and they started to complain and started to think about the great food that they had back in Egypt. Now, somehow they remembered the food, but they did not remember the cruel fate of slaves that they had, and they started to complain. So they have a very selective memory. Not that any of us would have any idea what that means, but nevertheless. So there they are. They're complaining against God, not liking the food that he has for them. So then he sends these seraph serpents, and they begin to bite people, and they die because of these bites. Now, these seraph serpents are actually seraph, or it's like seraphim, which means fiery ones. So it's not just that there are snakes, like rattlesnakes or garden snakes or something, that are biting them. It's something supernatural. It's a judgment that is sent to them, these fiery ones. And it's a judgment for their rebellion against God. And so these serpents bite them, they die, and then they finally realize that what they have done is wrong and complaining against God. And so they go to Moses and they appeal, ask him to appeal to God for them. They say, "Help, we've sinned." And so God commands Moses to make this bronze serpent mounted on a pole, and those who look at it will be healed. So the thing that they're looking at is the effect of their sin. They chose to rebel against God, and they're looking at the serpents, which are the effect of their sin, those serpents who brought about the death that they deserved because of their sin. They're looking at the effect of their sin. Now, when we think about this story, we often will think, well, of course, like this parallel that's made with Jesus on the cross. But of course, they did not know about Jesus. So when they see this and hear this story, what are they thinking of? Well, they're thinking of the other place where a serpent is prominent, the Garden of Eden. And so we have this reality that there is some parallels there, right? In the Garden of Eden, just like the Israelites in the desert, they reject food. God gave Adam and Eve all of the trees in the middle of the garden, all of the trees in the garden except for the tree in the middle of the garden for food. And they are looking around, and somehow they grow tired of that, and they wander close to this tree that they're not supposed to eat of. And then there's a serpent there. And of course, they are tempted by the serpent to eat this fruit. just as they are tempted, the people in Israel are tempted to complain against God by evil, by the evil one. And then, of course, their eating of the fruit of the tree, being disobedient, brings about death. And so they are cast out of the garden where they would have lived forever, and they are doomed to death. Death enters the world through sin. So there's some parallels there. And as we look then at Jesus, maybe that also helps us to see that this is a remedy for that original sin. So Jesus is here. He is the one who is lifted up on the cross, on a pole, just like that serpent in the desert. But when we look at him, we're looking at the same thing, the effect of our sin. The Israelites looked at the serpents. Those were the effect of their sin that led to death. Jesus has taken the effect of our sin, which is death, and he has taken that upon himself so that he takes our death upon himself so that we may have life. St. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5. He who knew no sin became sin for our sake, that we might become the righteousness of God. So we reject the food that God gives, his teaching, his life, because of the temptation of Satan, and we deserve death. And then we look at Jesus, the effect of our sin, the sin that he has taken upon himself, as we look at him on the cross. And if we believe in him, then we have life. So there's this reality that we need to look at the face of Jesus, look at him on the cross. And I invite you to think about a couple of things here. First of all, that there is a Satan, a tempter, that's what that means, the tempter, who wants to destroy us. Sometimes I think that we can think that, well, you know, sin is okay because everybody sins. And I mean, realistically, I know I'm always going to sin. So why even fight with sin? I'm just going to go ahead and accept that I'm a sinner and that I'm going to continue to sin. So what's the big deal? And Satan delights in that because he wants to destroy us. He wants us to live forever away from God. He hates God and he hates the children of God. So he hates you and me. He wants us to choose sin, to reject God. And so this is the reality of the evil one, and we must accept that. If we accept that, then we see the reality of our own sin and temptation, and we can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, help us. And then we look at the cross and the fact that Jesus takes this punishment that is due to us upon himself. And when we look at the cross, it should be something that is quite amazing to us. The reality of our sin that is hanging there because he has taken it upon himself. There's the story of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. She was given the professed name when she took on her habit, St. Thérèse of Lisieux. She, you know, died at the age of 24, early 1900s. A great saint really led to a revival of the faith in France in the mid-1900s. So her professed name was the Child Jesus. That's what the Mother Superior gave her. But she had this devotion to the Holy Face. And so she asked that she would be given the name St. Teresa of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face. That is a long religious name, by the way. The Holy Face, she had this devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. And in her room, her cell, she had this Holy Face of Jesus, this image pinned on the curtain there in her room. So she always looked upon the face of Jesus. And I invite you to think about what that would be like if every day you looked upon the face of Jesus. You looked upon the effect of your sin and how Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to undergo that punishment for you, to save you from sin. Might that change the way that you look at sin? So St. Thérèse looked at the face of Jesus constantly, keeping the face of Jesus ever in her heart. And I think that it's helpful for us to think about that because we see that in this first reading how people reject God, and we know what that's like. God sent the prophets to his people that they would turn away from sin, and they prefer darkness to light, as Jesus says. And so they suffered the effects of that. They got the Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem and took them off into captivity in Babylon. And finally, 70 years later, they were restored with King Cyrus, as it says in that reading, that first reading. But this is our reality too, that we are in exile because of our sin. Like that psalm says, if I ever forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Or it says, I kept the book open just so that I would remember this. The psalm response is, I'm going to have the cantors sing it if I can't find it. Okay, here it is. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. So we are in exile, and if we forget God, then we forget our destiny of heaven. Then, yes, let my tongue be silenced. So how do we not forget our destiny? How do we not forget the great love of our God? If we look upon the face of Jesus, then we remember that, yes, we are in exile, longing for heaven. The reality is that we live in exile because our culture rejects God. But the thing is that our culture is not a person who will die and face judgment. But we who live in this culture, we are created to be with God forever. We will die and we will face judgment. So in the midst of this culture, we need to keep Jesus before us. Him raised on the cross, who died for our sin and took the effect of our sin upon himself. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. So this week I just invite you to maybe print off a copy of the face of Jesus. Maybe put it in a place that you can look upon it. Maybe have a crucifix that is prominent in your house. You can always look upon the face of Jesus. Look upon this great love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. When we look upon the face of Jesus, we are reminded of this great love. And that will help us, lead us from our sin and our temptation as we see its effect upon the face of the one who loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that those who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Let us not be afraid to look upon the face of Jesus.